This episode of the podcast is brought to you by ResistAll. We live it every day.
What sets ResistAll apart is the legacy of the cowboys who wear the brand. These traditions are passed down from fathers to sons, from heroes to future champions. Since 1927, ResistAll has been handcrafting the finest American-made cowboy hats. Generation after generation, we live it every day.
This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradud.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, we have got Rocker Steiner, Leighton Berry, and Cole Reiner. We are in the Tin Barn, just outside of where the arena is. Like I had mentioned in the Sid and Tilden episode, we had to relocate to record these episodes. It worked out okay. We were able to get power. There's a lot of raindrops falling on our shoulders, but still, we had a good time. It was freezing cold. Rocker, Leighton, and Cole are a lot of fun. They, you know, they're good buddies and they have a great friendship. And we kind of got to talk about Leighton and Cole's background and then got to all take turns poking fun at Rocker, who will not disclose his age. But I think this one, if you're just looking for pure entertainment and a little bit of information about the Riggin Rally, this is a fun one. So check it out. All right, guys. So here's the deal. Rocker, you and I were probably talking about having the three of you on the show like, what, 2-3 months ago?
Yeah, right after the first one.
Yeah. And you were like, I can promise you, if it's the three of us, meaning you three, on the show, it would be the most entertaining thing ever.
No, it's definitely going to be.
There's a good chance.
We do a lot of stuff together, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Right. I mean, we've had broads on here who've shot lions.
No, I think I think we can talk about
it. Hey, we take down lions
with our hands, bro.
Lions? Mm-hmm. I saw the picture. That was a kitten.
Well, Ted's pretty big, so I mean, Ted's our cat, by the way.
When did Cole and Leighton, when did you guys get here, though?
To down there or up here?
Like, to Darby?
This state? Area.
Well, yeah. Actually, we've been on the rodeo trail the last couple days. Yeah. It's been quite some exciting, unfortunate and fortunate events the past couple days.
Really? Did you guys travel together?
Yeah, we traveled together.
Cole and I traveled together and lived together at the Steiner Ranch in Weatherford.
Yeah.
And I grew up just north of there in a little town called Poolville, Texas.
Yeah.
Home of Bob Tallman.
There you go.
Yeah, but me and Cole were headed from Evanston, Wyoming to Lakeview, Oregon yesterday, and my truck ended up breaking down in the middle of the desert.
Really?
Yep, one of my injectors went out. I've had it about a year now. I haven't had any problems with it, and we get stranded.
What is it?
For
what kind of truck?
It's a 2005 Dodge. It's got a 5.9.
Oh, what? 5.9? It should be gold.
Yeah, you would think. Nope. It's been an awesome truck, low miles and everything. Yeah, we get out there in the middle of the desert, and
it's an hour and a half from Winnemucca and 2.5 from Lakeview, and it happened to be on Trenton Montero's family's exit.
Yeah, so the little story is actually crazy, and this is proof that when a door shuts, God will open another. So we pull over on the only like rest stop in the middle of the desert, and we whip in there, and we start smelling diesel. So I get out, I look under my truck, and sure enough, there's diesel leaking out from underneath my truck. We pull it in there and pop the hood. It's spewing diesel everywhere. Got one of my injectors all messed up. And right about that time, two gentlemen pulled up in a little white Ford, and they were hunting some sheep out there. And father, son, Brent and Jim, and they offered to help us. And then when we realized we couldn't fix it on our own, they drove us 2.5 hours to Lakeview, Oregon. And me and Cole got there, and we're kind of bummed about our luck being stranded, and we ended up winning first and second. So
no shit.
Yep.
So they drove you to the rodeo.
They drove us to the rodeo.
Were they ranchy people?
Like they
knew who you guys were.
They knew who we were when we introduced ourselves. They knew they recognized
our name.
Really?
The craziest part is Brent, the son, which he'd probably been in his 40s, his dad in his 60s. Brent was wearing a buckle from a junior rodeo in Lakeview, Oregon. And for the bareback riding.
No.
And it was a crazy.
So
I got
they knew
picture.
Right where to take you.
Yep. So he said, I hadn't been back there since I won this buckle in 1996, was it?
Yeah, 96.
And, they drove us 2.5 hours, would refuse to take our money. We filled their truck up, bought them a case of beer, and they left, and we ended up riding with Clayton Bigelow up here to get to the Riggin Rally.
So where's your pickup?
Well, like I said, another awesome deal. Trent Montero, his family's ranch, we broke down just past the exit to their ranch. And I'm talking, this is in the middle of nowhere, Nevada. And his uncle happens to be a mechanic and went out there, wow, looked at it, and just like we thought, it was an injector, and he ended up limping it to their family ranch so nobody would strip my truck down out there in the desert. And so he's going to fix it Tuesday whenever he gets a part, and I'm going to have to fly to Reno and go pick that sucker up.
I mean, Wednesday. That's the most rodeo shit ever,
isn't it
crazy, like, when you rodeo, that something, like, especially if you're a faith-based guy, right? Let's say that you're a God guy, even just a little bit. For some reason, you get put in those situations when you rodeo, just based on miles, trucks, if you do trailers, if you're a timed event guy, it just happens, right?
Yep.
And somehow there's always a way out because someone always helps you.
And
you just don't get that in other sports.
And I mean, like right now, I mean, I'm in a pretty decent spot in the world standings, but Cole, he's, you know, 13th and right there on the bubble. And whenever we told those guys that kind of knew who we were, they've been watching the Cowboy Channel, and they're like, what are you guys sitting on? I'm like, well, I'm 9th, but Cole's 14th or whatever, and, you know, we kind of need to get there. And he's started freaking out. He's told his dad, we're getting these boys to Lakeview, and I'll be dang if they didn't drive 2.5 hours out of their way to get us there.
So, I mean, wait, who won first, who won second?
I won it, and Cole, I half-pointed Cole, and he won
second.
So
did that push you up a little bit?
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of breathing room?
Yeah, it worked out really good, so, for both of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I'm like 13th, 14th, right in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, after you guys leave here, where are you going to go?
We're probably done till Salt Lake.
Yeah?
Yeah, we go to Salt Lake. We're entering Abilene, Texas next weekend. Really, we only got about 5 or 6 rodeos left.
I mean, it's about done.
It's almost over. So we're really counting to kick some butt here at the Reagan Rally, where this is going to be one of the biggest ones of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
And
what's the added money, Rocker?
What it's like
30,000.
30,000.
Yeah, overall.
I think first will pay like what, 10, 15?
First is gonna pay 10. They're gonna pay the guys that advance out of each set in the 8-man.
Yeah.
And so there'll be 3 8-mans. They'll pay the dancing guys, and then it'll come down to a 1-head shootout for 10,000, dropping all the way down to for the rest of the added money.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Although this weather kind of screwed everything up.
Hey, you know, that's one thing about the Cowboys, rain or shine, we'll perform for them.
Yeah, well,
hey, this is a Cowboy podcast. Hey, we're all getting dripped on.
We're getting dripped on over here. Yeah.
We don't mind scraping a few up in the rain.
That's right.
I promise you.
These Texas boys don't know how to do it, but I've been training my whole life.
Yes, you have. This is nothing for you.
This is a high school rodeo.
Yeah.
So we were joking about that earlier, me and Casey, being from Wyoming and Utah.
Yeah.
Like, this was every weekend in and out. Same, a few Texas rodeos too, but the cold.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you high school rodeoed in Wyoming. Did you come down and did some of the Colorado rodeos too?
Yeah, I did. I came down and did some open rodeo, amateur rodeos.
Yeah,
and open,
you did the CPRAs and all that. Yeah. I mean, when you do the Colorado rodeos, the first part of that amateur season, it's cold as hell, just like this. Yep. But for us, it's funny because we have sound equipment and all that, and we were actually set up in that little dance stage there, and it started coming down.
Born.
And we just happened to make it work out in this place, but I think they need to patch the roof maybe.
I think the acoustics are pretty good.
Yeah, this is some Montana roofing right here.
I'm saying. But it's, you know, it's just nice. It's a good ambiance, the rain in the background. It's tranquil.
It's just different.
It's a little different. Yeah. But what's fun about, I mean, Rocker's dad and Tilden, you guys kind of set this whole thing up. But for bareback riders like you guys, I mean, it's such a small group of guys, right? It's not like team roping or barrel racing or, I mean, really anything else. There's never been things where you can just go and perform against just your people and there's nothing else, right? You got all the time in the world. That's what's cool about this. You can kind of just take it easy. You got the whole day to wait for your deal and you don't have to rush around. I mean, I hope you guys or whoever just keeps this going because I think every event needs
its own
deal.
And like you were saying, there isn't, like, you know, you have the USTRC for team rope, and there's, you know, barrel races every weekend, there's calf ropings, there's, you know, everything there is to offer. There's bronc matches, there's PBRs, and so far for the bareback riding, it's just been you either pro rodeo or you amateur rodeo, and that's it, you know what I mean? And so to have Sid and Tilden's been a huge help with putting all this together, but mainly like the Steiner family in general, Rocker, Bobby, Sid, all of them getting together to put something up like this for us. I mean, this is a complete game changer.
I mean, can you think of anything for your guys' event, because it is just one of the smaller ones in rodeo. It is. It's just bareback's one of the smaller events in rodeo that actually helps elevate the sport that you guys are a part of.
You know, but that's what I like about bareback riding is not everyone can do it.
Right.
It's a rough, tough event. Not everyone has the guts to do it. But, I mean, the guys that do it, they're they're rough, tough guys. I mean, they're a lot like UFC fighters. They're gritty, they're tough, they're mean, they got the fight, they got the will to do it. So, I mean, that's what we like about it. Nothing against team ropers, but it's not hard to swing a rope. I mean, it's hard to be the best in the world, but I mean
Rocker's physically,
gonna get us all I've seen Rocker swing a rope. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Well, okay, but Rocker, you didn't do anything really with horses at all until recently.
No, I did nothing with horses. I didn't get on a saddle horse. Really. I mean, I rode every once in a while, but I really didn't start saddling up till I was 13, 14 years old when I started riding barebacks.
Right. What was it like for you guys, like seeing the little wakeboard kid from Texas? And, you know, of course, his grandpa and dad had done rodeo stuff, but that was a long time ago. I mean, how did you guys kind of become friends?
Well, it was a different time for me whenever I met the Steiners. I was I'd have been like right there about getting out of high school, going into college, and I was still not anywhere near where I wanted to be in my bareback riding, and I was hunting to get on practice horses all the time and amateur rodeoing and college rodeoing, and I just turned 18, was, you know, going to some pro rodeos. And so when I heard about Rocker learning how to ride, you know, I see this little skinny 13-year-old kid, you know, wanting to get on some barebacks. I knew he was a, you know, badass little wakeboarder, and I knew who Sid was and that whole deal. And I got hooked up with him to go down to Blanco to where they lived before to get on some practice horses. And I'd go down there every chance I got. They, after the first time they started calling me down there, I'd go get on four or five horses with Rocker. And it just kind of, one thing led to another. Now Tilden's going down there with me, and now Rocker's taking it seriously. Now Rocker's riding really good. Now we got more bucking horses. So one thing just led to another. And then when they moved up to Weatherford, which is right in my backyard, that I saw an opportunity to, you know, hang out with a super awesome family and get better. And so that's what I did. And then when me and Cole started rodeoing together, he wanted to get the heck out of Wyoming. I mean, who can blame him? And he came down to Weatherford with me, and we live in what's called the Bareback Shack now down there at the Steiner Ranch. Yep.
Cole, you want to say something? I see it in your eyes.
I'm not going to say anything.
You could say it.
Nope, no arguments.
Cole loves Texas.
Yeah, I do. I do like Texas.
Do you?
Actually. Yeah. I didn't think I would. When I first got to Texas, I went to, what, Canyon, whatever, over there.
That college?
Like, come down through there. Oh. And
I saw Amarillo.
Amarillo, yeah. Like that area.
And you
thought,
were like,
I was like, I'm going home. I'm going back home.
No, then, you know. And, ease on into, you know, north central Texas. It gets a little greener.
It
so.
Does. I yeah. mean, the Dallas-Fort Worth, Austin area, it's all green and light. It's a nice place to be.
It is.
Cole also didn't mention that. He didn't like Texas until he came out on the boat with me and Layton. Yeah.
Which I hadn't, even being Texas kid, I didn't really
Cole
do
was
a
like,
whole
I'm not going back.
Either.
Really?
No, I didn't. And so that was, I mean, I had, like, gone out with friends and surfed and, you know, jumped around on a wakeboard, nothing, you know.
Well, Cole, did you, in the summer, though, you didn't go to, like, Glendale or Jackson Hole or anything like that?
No.
Because you were just rodeoing.
I didn't go on a boat. I've never been on a boat until.
Really?
You know, like a surf boat.
Your folks have a ranch? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah,
cows?
We have a ranch and some businesses in town and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, first time I ever got on a surf boat was in Texas at Rocker's house.
Yeah.
So it was all new to me. I was scared of
the
water.
He surprised me. Like, I took him out on the boat for the first time, and he got up surfing the first time, and I'm talking about in, what, 5 days he was doing 360s on a wake surfboard?
Really?
We were barefooting. I took him barefooting before I took him wake surfing. I'm
really?
Talking about, like, I went, and he's like, psh, that's it? I was like, we're going 40 miles an hour. He's like, psh. I was like, dude.
Did you snow ski or snowboard or do stuff like that, right? Because it transitions over.
Yeah, I did a lot of snowboarding and stuff, like at home. And I think being athletic, like riding bareback horses, that's obviously important to be athletic. But, like, all the same muscles I was using. It was so crazy when I started barefooting.
Yeah,
like, it's the same bareback riding muscles. Like, so it was almost like natural.
Just nothing. And I mean, you guys love it now.
And
obviously.
Cole doesn't talk about it much, but Cole was a badass wrestler. So he also had some really good feet, which, you know.
How many times did you go to state, Cole?
I went 4 times. I won it twice and lost it
you
twice.
You won state twice?
Yeah.
And you didn't want to wrestle in college?
No.
Why not?
I actually, until two months before, like, signing day, I was going to go wrestle somewhere. I didn't know where for sure, but. And then I went to Sheridan College. It's like 30 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
And Mark, the coach there, offered me a full ride. And it was pretty hard to turn down drinking beer and getting on bucking horses over wrestling. So
I mean, you sound about like Tim O'Connell, just a little less
serious. Tim's in the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, but you won state 2 times, so, I mean, that's kind of another level.
Yeah, I can't really see Tim winning anything. I mean,
no, you guys say that because then we're going to send this to him, and then one of y'all is going to get stabbed.
Hey, me and Tim will have – we've been fighting UFC lately. It's fine. I've been kicking his butt.
Well, okay, how big was your school, though?
Like, so, Casey was there's 250 people in the town.
So was it like eight-man football that small?
It was, yeah, eight-man. But I went to Buffalo, and there's 4,000 people there. I think there's like 65 kids in my class. So it was decent size for really? Wyoming, yeah.
So when you had wrestling meets, I mean, did you wrestle like Gillette and those type
yeah.
of schools?
Yeah, a lot of Montana, a lot of Wyoming, Colorado.
Yeah.
Through there.
You were probably just sick of wrestling, right? I know when I wrestled, you get sick of that shit.
Oh, my freshman year, I cut a bunch of weight and like went out to Virginia Beach for the nationals and all that stuff. And I think I got off the plane and I was 14 pounds over the day before.
Oh,
and like, not a huge deal, but when you're 120 pounds,
when
it's big.
When on them Southwest peanuts, bro.
Yeah, too much. But
watering down that lemonade, bro.
Yeah, so like after that, I kind of quit cutting weight and stuff. And wrestling, I actually had fun. Like I liked it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, after that, like my junior and senior year, so it was like pretty heartbreaking, like tearing, deciding what I was going to do. My dad was like one of the head coaches there and stuff. So,
was your dad a little bummed out that you didn't pick wrestling?
No, he loves rodeo too.
Does he?
So, yeah.
So it was just like, hey, son, whichever one you want to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you do any other sports?
You know, I was homeschooled all through high school, and I grew up roping calves and team roping, and that's all I did growing up. I was always wanted to work all the events, and I fell in love with roping calves. I started team roping when I was probably seven, like real young, and did that for a long time, rode steers and junior bulls and that sort of thing, and just kind of my dad, you know, he didn't care what I did. And
as long as it was rodeo?
He didn't. If I'd have been playing baseball, football, which I did, you know, in junior high and stuff, but never, like, I wanted to come home and practice.
Were you homeschooled all through school?
No, I went to a public school until my eighth grade year, and then kind of made the decision that I wanted to spend more time with my roping. And I didn't even have a twinkle in my eye about riding barebacks when I started homeschooling. I just wanted to be able to come home and rope calves and ride my horses and get better at that. So my parents agreed. And so my freshman year, I started homeschooling, and it was kind of was a schedule where I'd get up in the morning, feed, clean stalls, come do school till about noon, and then I'd saddle horses. And Tyson Durfee lived right down the road from me. I'd go practice with him. I had a kind of a haven of guys around me. Adam Gray is one of them.
Yeah.
And I'd go rope with those guys all day and you know.
Do you rope now?
I haven't in a while. I did all through college. I went to Weatherford for 2 years. And,
yeah, you got to do more than one event.
Yeah, and I did all three in college and stuff. But right whenever I got out of high school, I always made, you know, state and everything. And then my senior year, I won the Texas state finals in the bareback riding and made the short round and the other two events and everything. But then realized that the bareback riding to me is starting to be more important, and I was liking it, craving it more. So through college, I kind of slowly backed off roping and started, like, taking my bareback riding seriously, and then it just kind of took off from there.
Do you feel like it's an easier – I mean, not physically, but you feel like it's an easier road to rough stock? I mean, you don't have to take a trailer. You don't have to keep horses sound.
It goes hand in hand, and I had to sit down and think about this for a while. You know, if I was going to rope calves, in which I felt like God blessed me with the ability to rope really good, and I had a good horse, and I knew that I could do that for as long as I could stay healthy for, and – the bareback riding was also obviously going to be a shorter term event, but you know, the feeling didn't compare. But as far as traveling and everything, it's like I give props to people hauling horses up and down the road, like which I did in high school, but it was a different deal. I usually had, you know, my dad with me or something, but I couldn't imagine hauling three horses with, you know, six extra tires and you know, feeding them, shoeing them, stalling them, all that stuff. Like, we'd get to pull over on the side of the road and start the generator and go to sleep if we want to, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, well,
so as far as getting down the road, I think we got it way easier.
Well, and now, like, if you talk to anybody who ropes calves at the highest level, there's not enough horses out there to go around who can do it.
No.
You know, that's one of the hard parts.
I mean, it is.
That's a tough – I mean, it's like the same with barrel racing and not as much team roping because there's just so much more – depth in team
sure,
roping, but if you look at tie down roping right now, and you talk to some of the best guys in the world, one horse goes lame and they're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, they got to go home and because a lot of times they got either a young horse that isn't ready for the road and they're gonna, you know, take a chance on blowing him up out there, or you know, I mean, it just doesn't work unless you got one underneath you, and sometimes that costs a lot of money, and some guys are super talented without it, and so the stars got to align, and that's kind of what I started to realize that. Okay, Leighton, like you're getting into college, you're kind of getting into being on your own and stuff, you know what I mean? And so, like, this is going to be financially pretty tough, like, once you're dropped on your head, you know, and your horse gets crippled or you know, stuff like that. And so the bareback riding was a smarter route for me.
What you got to say there, son?
You know, the only thing I got to say is...
Let's hear it.
I got nothing to say. That's all I got.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't been rodeoing long enough. That's the problem, mm-hmm. right?
No, I haven't. Only 4 years.
What sets Resist All apart is the legacy of the cowboys who wear the brand. These traditions are passed down from fathers to sons, from heroes to future champions. Since 1927, Resist All has been handcrafting the finest American-made cowboy hats. Generation after generation, we live it every day.
It's all right, though. I mean,
you know, but me and Leighton also have a similar story. Like, he grew up roping, and he didn't even have a thought about riding bareback horses. And all I did was wakeboard, and you know, we kind of started riding barebacks at the same time.
Yeah, we actually did. Like, I had some injuries like right in the very beginning, and one of them actually was roping cows. I ended up breaking my leg, and because everyone, whenever I started riding bareback horses, they were like, gosh, you're dumb, you rope calves too good, you're gonna ruin your talent, blah blah blah.
Well, I mean, it's Texas, and I mean, you get pushed hard as hell.
Oh,
I mean,
for
if you're
sure.
a decent calf roper, the guys get a hold of you, and
oh yeah, everybody,
it's a different
like,
kind of thing.
Like, there was people that were seriously like trying to make me feel bad about riding bareback horses, and I was like, I'm a cowboy, like this is what I want to do. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to do both, and I did. Like, I ended up winning a lot of all rounds and that sort of thing, and I thought, and I still, it's still one of my main goals to win the Linderman and win the all around of the world.
Wait, right? Oh, when did you start riding bareback horses? I don't even know this. When did you start?
So,
dude, I don't even know.
So I got on 3 or 4 ahead my sophomore year when I was 15, and only got on a few, was like roping calves, had a lot going on, and then coming around to be 16, I got on, I think, maybe 10 head, and I had an accident happen, and I compressed my spine, so I was out for about almost 6 months. And then Joe B, who's one of my kind of like my godfather a little bit, like he's
dude,
helped me a
who
ton.
Who is he not?
No, seriously, like he
coaches everybody.
Oh yeah, and he's been one of my mentors since I was 12 years old, and
yeah,
like he's
you I'm, and 100 other people. And if yeah. you're not from Texas, he's going to tell you you suck.
No, Joe believes in everybody, and he's a great guy.
He is a good guy,
and it turned into, you know, having a good relationship with him. And he called me up one day. He was going to have a match open for his junior open during the circuit finals, Texas circuit finals. And he called me and asked me if I was healed up. And I wasn't, but I was about to get released. And so I had, at the time, 5 calf horses. And I ended up getting a load of calves from a guy that I was getting calves from. I got like 30 head and was about to just get it on, you know what I mean? And everyone's like, oh, you see, you broke your back already riding bareback. Like, you need to hang it up. And then I'll be dang if the first one I don't run to start getting ready for that match, I get off my good horse, and we were just going fast, and she kind of stopped on her front end, and I get off, and I break my left leg for another 6 months with
right.
a cast from my toe to my hips, you know what I mean? So that just went to prove, like, you can get hurt doing anything or any event. And so that put me out basically another year. So, like, right at the end of being, like, 16 years old, coming into being 17 is when I actually finally got to, like, get on consistently.
Right.
So, and then so I got on for about a year, and then had a horse flip over with me, and I broke my shoulder right after I won the Texas state title. It was right before like Shawnee at Nationals, and
right.
I broke my shoulder and was out for another, you know, 6 months. So I've had like, you know, some breaks,
like literally half a decade of injuries.
A little bit. So
you should play golf, son.
Right. Yeah. And leading up to this, I had never broke a bone in my body. But then since the shoulder deal, I've been super healthy. Like, I started taking my fit. If those things wouldn't happen, like, they were just like everyone talks about them being a blessing and everything, they were, because now I take my fitness super seriously.
You know, that's kind of cool where Rough Stock's at right now, though, is everybody's taking fitness to just another level,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know if it's – I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think it's part of the fact that the PBR guys are taking it so serious and it's kind of transitioning to other events as far as the fitness goes? Or
no, I just think everyone realized to be a top-level athlete, you got to be in the top-level shape. And, you know, the horses are getting stronger and bigger, and everyone is just realizing the – you have to be athletic and strong to do what you want to do. I mean,
it's crazy. I mean, if you put the crop up that's right now, Rough Stock, anybody out of the 3 events, and put them up against the guys from 20, 30 years ago, I mean, it would be sad for those dudes, I think.
For sure.
Man, I think there's just a different style back then. I think, I mean, everyone will say that, oh, if this guy was in this decade, he wouldn't have done good. Winner's going to win. And that's just how it is.
Hard work always pays off.
Oh, it does.
I grew up with Larry Sambick
yeah.
in KC. And, like, Larry rode great, but like his lifestyle and stuff wouldn't fly nowadays.
No,
like drink beer and stretch on the first jump.
It's changed so much over the last 15 years since he's been to Vegas. Like there's stories of him showing up for the 10th round, like wearing the same clothes he wore at the 8th round.
Eating hospitality from the night before he gets on his 10th round horse.
That's
like,
funny.
That's unheard of now.
Yeah. It's like, funny because if you talk to like Fit and Wise guys or like Justin Sports Medicine, they're like, I mean, in the last decade, it's went from guys having Copenhagen cigarettes, condoms in their bag to, you know, pre-workout vitamins.
Sorry.
And I'm just saying. But it's good, though, because that's what rodeo has to have, right? Yeah. I mean, if rodeo's going to not be stuck where it's been for so long, I mean, the guy's got to go from being, I'm a cowboy, to being, I'm a freaking professional athlete.
And that's, like, where the bareback riding and bull riding has really took off. Like, Rock. Like,
it's the same thing that happened on the last podcast, Rock.
Yeah, you're getting cut off. You're, what, 18, 16?
Yeah.
You're 21? Yeah. You're the youngest one here.
No, but like Rocker was saying.
I'm getting cut off now.
Yeah, now you're getting cut off. Y'all are messing me up.
You guys did say that Layton would dominate the microphone.
Yeah, well, no,
it's because he was homeschooled.
No, he talks for us.
Yeah, I was.
In interviews, Layton talks. I'm cutting you off now, boy. But Layton talks for us. He's definitely the better speaker.
You're well spoken. Maybe when you're done riding, you can take George Taylor's job.
Maybe you can be like Tilden Hooper one day.
Shoot, I don't know about that. No, but like Rocker was saying earlier with the bucking horses and the level that they're at now and the breeding programs and how the money's up for, like, right, it's the time to be a bareback rider. Like, the money, like, as far as the American goes, like, these rigging rallies and the how few there is, like, if you can bust your butt and get yourself in physical shape and put in the work to be a good bareback rider, I mean, the money is out there right now, and it's out for the taking, so all three of us know that if we work harder than anybody else, then we're going to be the guys that are taking that money home.
Well, and you guys are at the age where you're kind of the next. I mean, there's Casey, there's Tilden. You know, Tim's a little younger than those guys, but
barely.
Sorry, who?
Who?
Yeah, what?
Which people?
Huh?
You guys confuse me. I don't know the names that well.
Hilden Tooper?
Hilden Tooper?
I got them confused on the podcast with Casey on accident.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something. But, you know, it's crazy to see, like, since I've been riding bareback horses for 4 years, how much it's progressed in the last 4 years. And I'm excited to see what's going to progress from when I'm 21 to 23, you know, next 2 years.
I mean, yeah, who knows how many guys you're going to inspire to kind of come up over, I mean, in your age group or high school rodeoing and doing things like that, because you're kind of off doing your own thing in the boonies. But yeah,
it is growing. You
know, who knows who's out there who's going to be inspired by all this stuff.
Just like last night in Lakeview, Oregon, I kid you not, well, there was five of us, Cole, right? There was five of us pro bareback riders, and there was, I think, 12 mini, like, junior bareback riders that rode before we did. Like, they were, all the bucking sheeps were full of ponies. Like, a full perf of mini bareback riders, and they were all, I mean, getting after it, too.
And they, like, it was pretty cool. They all knew, like, the Cowboy Channel, like, especially been helping out.
Right.
But, like, they knew who we were, and like, they were, has something to look up to and, like, someone to watch.
Yeah,
at
so
least.
You get back there and you meet those kids and you help them, and they, you can see the fire they get whenever, you know, you're back there helping them get on, and they get in there and they're aggressive and, you know, take it to them ponies and then come back and BS with you for a minute. Like, you can tell, like, you can see it in their eyes. Like, they're like, this is what I want to do. This is what excites me.
Well, you know what's great, like, with rodeo is, like, you can actually do that, right? Like, if you're a fan or you're a kid who wants to rodeo and grow up, and you had it a little better because you had the right connections, Rocker, to where you could actually be hands-on with guys, but I mean, if you want to play football, you're not going to get to talk to any professional athletes.
No, and that's what I think is badass about bareback riding, any rodeo sport. Like, if you like you said, if you want to be a top level football player, when you're 16, 17, you're not going to be able to touch an NFL football.
You're not even going to be able to touch a college athlete.
D1 athlete, you're not going to get to talk to them. I mean, maybe if you just see them hanging around, and they like, I mean, they you click with them and they want to hang out. But you know. That's what's cool about this is, like, Layton. I mean, he's just 21, and when I met him, I was, what, 14, 15?
Yeah, 14, yeah.
And, I mean, even, like, hanging out with him and Cole, I mean, I can learn so much from them. And, I mean, they're going to go to their first finals, and, I mean, in any other sport, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah. When were your guys' rookie years? Did you guys go as soon as you were 18?
This is Cole's.
Oh, this is your rookie year? Oh,
yeah, Cole's
good,
running.
Good work on waiting.
Yeah. Cole's running
that's
off
smart.
With it.
I didn't get my permit until I was 19.
Really?
So, no. Yeah. Now that we know that, like, I know when everyone started, I started riding bareback horses after Rocker.
Yeah.
So. Like, I've only been riding August 7th, actually, of 2016 was the first one I got on.
Yeah, really?
We both, I didn't.
I was riding August 29th.
Yeah, but
you've
then.
More than me.
Dude, I quit.
We all started about the same time.
I broke my wrist. I was out for a year and, like, didn't get a start till the next year.
You know what's crazy about that is that you could start something like bareback riding and make it to the finals.
Yeah.
Just based on the work. And, I mean, you guys have athletic backgrounds. And if you didn't wrestle and you didn't rope cast, I mean, because there's nothing in rodeo, at least from a coordination standpoint, that's more athletic than tie down.
For sure.
From a coordination standpoint. No, it's not brutal like
it's
that.
It's fast. There's a lot
it's
going
fast,
on.
And, yeah. I mean,
I agree with that one, too.
I mean, if you ever roped calves, and, I mean, that's all I've ever done my whole life is rope calves at a pretty high level, too. But if you rope with people who aren't athletic.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's great horsemen out there. There's great concept people in tie down because there's a huge pool of guys who just want to rope calves, right? And they may have some of the best horses, but if they're not athletic, they're not even going to make it to the high school.
You can't compete. Like, they can't compete with guys like that are in the physical shape riding good horses. It's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? And that goes the same with the bareback ride. And it shows, you know, who's putting the work in. You know, you can see it in guys' feet and how fast they are or not. You know what I mean? It's you got to have that athletic.
Well, hey, there's 24 guys here right now that will be willing to help any kid that wanted to, like, contact them and was willing to put in the work. That's the cool part about
rodeo. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else like it, though. I mean, no other sport's like that. It's like, F you, I'm competing against you. But it's rodeo as a whole, right?
No,
we want
bareback riders. We want to grow the sport. We want more of them. It is growing. And a lot of it's due to people like Sid Steiner. He's about to put on one of the biggest bareback ridings of the year, you know what I mean? So,
you know, hold on.
Go ahead.
You know, that's one thing about bareback riders is when you're pushing other guys, you're not just pushing like if I'm trying to push Leighton, I'm not just trying to push him. I'm trying to push me because if I can make him better, then he's going to try to make me better. If he can try to make me better, then I mean,
it's a nonstop merry-go-round of competitiveness between us three. Like who can make toes faster? It doesn't matter. Like we are trying to. At the same time, we're trying to beat each other as badly as possible, but at the same time is making all, like, because I can say Rocker hangs with us better than any 16-year-old kid out there can.
Oh, and so 16.
I'm not 16. What do you mean?
18-year-old
21.
Kid
what do you
can.
Mean? Depends and, on where we're at.
Yeah, it depends. And but like, we're always pushing each other, and we will get fighting mad, but then, you know.
These two fight like cats and dogs.
But
constantly.
It's just because.
Hey, I'm the dog and he's the cat. I always win. What do you mean?
See what I mean? Like, I mean, but it's only like I've gotten better. You know, I've learned a lot from Rocker. He's got to learn a lot from me. Cole, the same way. I mean, we're just a big family.
I mean, Cole's got two state championships. He probably wrap both of you up.
See, he hasn't tried to yet.
I'm more scared of him.
We
than
call
him.
Cole the sleeper.
I would be scared of that. He has two state championships. Hey, just don't screw with people who have state championships.
I'm the calm one out of these three.
Whenever things get bad, we just whistle for Cole.
I don't know.
And then he comes around the back.
Yep.
Yeah. Does everybody know?
He comes around the back.
About your wrestling merits?
No. I don't ever talk about it.
You shouldn't.
Me and Rocker can usually handle it, but if we can't, we give a little. Yeah. Cole comes around.
Yeah. I see it in his eyes.
It's more like a. And he's like.
That's Cole.
Yeah. Something like that.
That's not the worst position to be in.
No.
No. No, I got. Well, Rocker's over here. And him and Leighton are fighting constantly, so I get to watch and laugh at all of it and be quiet. So it's pretty good.
Huh? I mean, Rocker's the smallest and the loudest.
Hey, Rocker's
so
the feistiest.
You're gonna have to save him.
No, hey. I've seen Rocker and Leighton go at it, and Rocker's bitten chunks out of Leighton's legs.
This
and,
is true.
And
you got to do whatever you have to do.
Don't you bring it up.
I will.
Do it.
I'm
don't
not.
You
no,
bring
I,
it up.
I will not.
Full disclosure.
Hey,
nope.
Why don't you bring it up?
No.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Let's hear it, Rocker.
Hey, I do whatever it takes to win. So
yeah, let's just say at the end of the day. Rocker does
don't
absolutely whatever it takes
to take,
win.
I do whatever it takes to win. I don't. I mean,
I still feel violated. By the way,
but I know what you're talking about.
I know we all know
takes,
what we're
dog.
Talking about.
This is just like
let's
the
just
two-handed
say,
mic thing. Isn't
let's
it?
Just say I was.
Why,
I was,
why do you always got to do that with the mic and
dude? You
him?
Just did it. You did it more than I did.
No, I was just showing people what you did.
No,
I've got
you
photos
did it
to prove it.
This podcast is taking a turn.
I don't like
they
this anymore.
They always do.
They always do.
You know, but Cole was saying when he starts, like, when me and Leighton and him start traveling together, Cole might need a police baton.
Yeah.
It's true. Or a taser.
Or a taser. Stun gun. From mainly me and Leighton.
We're going to have to put Rocker, like, in one of those, like, straight jackets and throw him in the back of the van or something, or the camper.
We can't even play spike ball together anymore because these two get into it
yeah,
so
because
bad.
Me and Lefty Holman start kicking some ass, and then Leighton over here.
Hey, starts me crying and Lefty about did it. Pretty dang good, okay?
He's trying to get rid of that homeschool. Why did you want to homeschool? Just because that's what you
strictly
do?
Strictly because, well, I also like where
you
I
weren't
went,
worried about missing all the stuff that you get to do
no,
in high
not
school?
At all. I got to do so much more whenever I got out. So, like, where I went to school, there was, like, no kids that rodeoed, no kids that even, like, really hunted. It was more like it was a big basketball school. That's the only sport I'd never really played was basketball. So I couldn't really relate.
You don't look like a basketball player.
No, I was not a basketball player.
Or either of these guys do.
Hey, what do you mean? I'm a baller, bro.
I was buddies with everybody. You know, they knew I was an athlete, but, like, they couldn't relate to me at all. And I would get home at 3 o'clock or whatever, and, you know, mom making us do our homework, and you can't go saddle anything to get your homework done. So the next thing I know, it's 5 o'clock, and it's getting dark, you know, in
the
fall.
You got straight A's, huh?
So I did in school, actually. Homeschool was a little bit of a different story. Let's just say that I liked rope a lot more. But I did pass. I did pass high school. But, yeah, no, I wanted strictly to be able to practice more and be able to work out and, like, have time in the day to work on my craft. That's the main reason why I homeschooled. Yeah.
I mean, would you ever have homeschooled?
Yeah, I actually would have.
Really?
But, like, in Wyoming, there's no reason to.
Yeah.
Like, it's too freaking cold all winter anyways.
Right.
Like, so I didn't, like, ride a horse for 2 or 3 months a year.
Yeah.
In the wintertime because it's so cold. And we'd wrestle, like, all, like, sometimes in the morning, not really, but all night usually. And then by the time school was over, 4 o'clock, it was dark.
Yeah.
It's like, it was too cold and dark to rope. So we just wrestled and then, like, I had fun in public school, honestly.
So
I had a good time.
I wouldn't give it up.
Hey, I can tell you one thing. Cole has wrestled a lot because I asked him to show me some stuff wrestling, and I ended up on my head so fast, I did not know what happened. And I just
okay,
wanted him to teach me it.
If you
He's
don't
yet
know
to teach
to wrestle,
me a wrestling move.
If you don't know how to wrestle, and you wrestle anybody who's even been to state, it's going to be done so quick you don't even know what to do.
For sure.
It's just a high level.
Hey, and like I boxed quite a bit, and I was showing him some stuff. Cole's not a bad boxer either.
I mean, wrestling
this one I hear is,
on
a, is a different story. You know, he's like that. He's got that 1-2 combo with him, salt.
I mean, there's a reason that high level wrestlers transition to things like UFC really well. It's because that discipline that you have from wrestling is harder than mixed martial arts.
I would say.
Wouldn't it be?
No, it's harder. I could.
But
you,
wrestling is in mixed martial arts.
It is, but I'm talking about the conditioning and just the mental strain.
No, I went to Cowboy Cerrone's, and I went and trained with him for a little bit, and we wrestled, and I was so sore by the end of it. And his wrestling coach, his boy, Charlie, is like, he was like 13 at the time, and I was way bigger than him. And this kid was sticking. I was so mad. He was whipping me. And I was so mad. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I wrestled and did all that. But when I – because I quit rodeoing for a little bit, and I did mixed martial arts for about 4 years.
Really?
And it was so much – like, if you do jiu-jitsu, right? Like, you've probably done some jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, a little bit at Cowboys.
Yeah, but it's so much more relaxed than wrestling. I mean,
oh,
the
no,
stress
it,
of
no, it's
high-level
awesome.
Wrestling
I love
is,
jiu-jitsu's badass because, I mean, you're safe on your back.
You're safe, yeah.
You can keep them off with your feet, and when they attack, triangle. Done.
But it's just the stress of high-level wrestling is so much higher, I think, than
pretty much
anything
No,
else.
I love wrestling. When I came back from Cowboys and wanted to get into it, but, I mean, I wasn't in school, and I don't know. But I love wrestling.
Are you homeschooling right now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you should not mention that.
Yeah, he's homeschooling.
He's homeschooled.
But that's, like, something badass that we're looking forward to is, like, possibly going down to Cowboys with Rocker one of these days for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know. However long.
I mean,
probably a week. I don't know if Cowboy can handle me for that long.
Yeah, it's true.
He's got. He's
we
got,
might be down there.
He's got danger, but I think I'm a little bit more of a hassle. But yeah, I want to take these boys down there and maybe even before the finals, take them down for like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 a week.
I mean, that would probably be the best way to prep for.
For sure. No,
I was going to say Vegas.
We're
going to
be
Vegas.
Doing some like we're going to be doing some boxing with some boxing trainers and stuff like that. Like it. I mean, anything that can get our muscles, you know, reacting fast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when we get home, we're going to go on probably not like a too strict of a diet. We're probably going to eat pretty healthy and work out a couple – probably might be doing 2 days
Well, there will be some 2 days for a while, for
sure. Well, you just let Cole write the workouts. He'll handle you guys.
No, we're doing surfing. We're surfing. That's all we're doing.
We barefooting, bro. That's the best workout ever. And foiling.
All right, guys, so we're trying to keep these a little shorter than, like, the normal episodes, just people are lining up. But where can you be found on social media?
Go ahead, Cole.
I got my Instagram, like, whatever it is.
What is it?
I don't know.
What is it? Hold on.
Pull it up.
Yeah.
Pull
it up. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I got you.
It's just, I think it's my name.
It's Cole underscore Reiner, R-E-I-N-E-R 8.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the 8 stand for? What's that about?
You can't do Cole Reiner. Someone's already got that.
So it doesn't stand for anything.
No.
But, I think mine's just Leighton underscore Barry. Yeah. If you can spell my name, you can find me.
That's going to be hard for some people, probably.
Rocker underscore Steiner. There you go, girls.
You can also
gotcha.
You can find him on Grindr.
That's true.
This is also true. No, it's not true.
Hit him up, boys.
I hate these guys.
Hey, what's Grindr?
I don't even know. I thought it was... He said guys, so I kind of caught on, but... I don't even know.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
You made the profile, Cole?
Yeah, I made it for
him.
He
probably did.
Cole's got the prettiest hair.
No, I know what it is. Did you see the account that he made? I knew you were on it, dog.
You're an asshole.
Oh, yeah. I just switched it around to be picking on someone. What did he say about your hair?
What about cutting this podcast short?
I said he's the one who made the accounts because he's got the prettiest hair. I knew that'd strike a chord with you.
What?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You know
why
I did that, right? To confirm the Grindr account?
Yeah, 100%.
That was a bad move.
Hey.
We got to go ride some bareback horses.
Hell yeah. I'll be watching you guys.
Well, thanks for having us on. Appreciate
thanks,
you.
Thanks, guys. We'll do another one in Fort Worth sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I say, oh, brother,
let's go now. This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content by Cassie Emerson. Our theme song is by Shay Ashshire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next time. Oh, my dear.